Let's quickly turn to Philippians and chapter 4. And I start reading from verse 6. Philippians and chapter 4 and verse 6. And it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, that don't entertain any form of anxiety, anxious thoughts about your future, right? Any form of anxiety about the outcome of things. Be careful for nothing, but what you shall do is that in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. The word keep is to protect and to guard your heart, which is from all forms of fearful thoughts, anxious thoughts. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it says, finally. The word finally means above all, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report or of good report, if there be any virtue in them, if there be any praise in them, think on these things. So Paul puts above all, after you have offered up your prayers, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding is protecting and guarding your heart from all forms of anxiety about the future and the outcome, that what you need to do is to think on a certain things. Entertain certain types of thoughts. Make a conscious decision to entertain only certain kinds of thoughts. And it describes the quality of those thoughts, the material those thoughts are made of, that they have to be true, they have to be honest, that they have to be of good report, that if they have to be pure, that if there's any praise, if there's any virtue, think upon these things. Now, the first thing I want to show here, and we're taking off from last week, all right, is the fact that God says we shall make our requests known unto him. Now, if you read verse 19 of chapter 4, that same chapter, it says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now, if you just flip the page to the next book, Colossians, and we read chapter 1 and verse 3, just talking about prayer here, it says, we give thanks unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you. Then in verse 9, it tells us about the nature of the prayer that he was offering up. But the point I want to get to is in verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, what we did is that we said, just taking a thought from last week now, that when we got born again, and this is why the Bible says that at one time, you are without God, or without Christ, and without hope in the world. In other words, you could find yourself in a situation where you could say, there is no way out. I am trapped. This is hopeless. All right, once you come to your wit's end. He said, but with Christ, a man, right, who has received Christ, will never find himself in a situation where there is no way out. That there is a way out of every situation. He doesn't have to be fearful. He shall not entertain any thoughts of anxiety concerning it. That those thoughts and anxious thoughts are wrong. That the thoughts of fear that you have really are baseless. And the reason is because you have an inheritance in Christ. And Peter put it this way, that when we got begotten again, he says we got, all right, we got born again unto a lively or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus, and he said, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that is reserved in heaven for you. So by virtue of getting born again, not by any work that you did, but by virtue of getting born into the right family. I mean, if a man leaves a will, and this man was a multi-billionaire, and he says, well, I've left a will that anybody born into this family, anybody that bears my name, that comes out of any descendant of mine, right? Once he or she is born into this family, they must be given a portion of my inheritance. So once you get born into that family, not because of anything that you have done, but by reason of the family that you were born into, what happens is you have entered into an inheritance. Once you get born into that family, you become a joint heir with other members of that family of, all right, that inheritance that has been left in store for every member of that family. Now, when we got born again, and became joint heirs with Christ and other members of the family of God. And there is an inheritance that is there. And God tells us that by virtue of this inheritance, understand this. Never entertain anxious thoughts about your future. Never ever think you will ever be in any situation where it's hopeless. There is a way out, and not just a way out, not just deliverance. You will be honored. All right, you will be exalted. Something will come out of it. As Paul said, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus. As always, even now, he said, I'm fully persuaded, all right, that as always, even now, Christ will be magnified in my body. So in any situation in which you find yourself, there is an inheritance that God has in store for you. And we said, let us look at it, and it's in reserved in the heavenly places. So let's use this example. A person goes to work somewhere. And so when he starts out, the first thing they want to show him is the storehouse that that company has. And so they take him into this building. Let's say it's about 30 times the size of this auditorium. And inside that building there, it's a storehouse. And he says office supplies, stationery, and he stands, and the sight, so to speak, is endless. He says you can't search for anything. If they tell you, go and look for this book, that place is unsearchable. What is there, all right, is beyond. It is mind-blowing. So he sees that. And then I said, so you must understand that we have all this in store for you. If you or any other person in this organization has any need, all you have to do is to make your request known about the specific thing that you need on your desk or at your desk, and we will work on it, your request, and get the supply to you. So they start out in the office with a consciousness of abundance, because their consciousness is now linked to that storehouse as they sit at their desk, understanding that there is an abundance, an infinite supply of material for them. So once they get into any place of need or position of need, all they have to do is to make the specific request known unto the authority. And so they send a mail making that request known. Now, the minute the authority receives the mail, they start working on it to get what they have requested, all right, for to the table of that person. Remember that Daniel said, when the angel came to Daniel, the angel said, from the day your supplication came forth, God issued a commandment. In other words, work started on your paper. So the minute you pray and make your request known unto God, movement starts in heaven, all right, on your behalf. Now, I'm sure this man or this woman who sends this mail did it with thanksgiving. You say, how do you know? Because he was working in a company hitherto. Remember, you have been you have been delivered from the kingdom and translated. And if he was working in a company, all right, where back then in school, we had a code word, we call it El Tipo, which means that they drop supply, all right? Okay? And in that company, when you make your request that the ink has finished, the boss comes and says, which ink has finished? Open the thing. Don't you know how to heat it like this? You think we don't have any supply anywhere. And you hit like this and everybody's hitting the ink, all right, and shaking it, and shaking it, and shaking it, all right? And when paper finishes, turn it around. And suddenly he finds himself where he just sends a mail and they bring so much supply. He does it with what? Thanksgiving. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means that, I've been delivered from this. And I can concentrate on my work. All right? There's an infinite supply here. So here's, the Bible says, thanking him who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So it's with thanksgiving, thanking God for the abundant supply that he has in that for you in that particular situation. And so God responds, and he begins to pour out a portion of your inheritance right to you on the earth. Now, how does he do it? So that this inheritance is not theoretical. Remember, he says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall protect your heart. Now, when we look at Jeremiah chapter 29, this is where Paul got that revelation from. All right, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, it tells us here, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, or to give you a future. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So God has thoughts. He says thoughts of peace. So what happens is when you send your request and make it known unto God, mistake many people make is they start looking on the outside, waiting for any change on the outside that they will use that to determine whether God has heard and answered their prayers. But how God responds is that he begins to pour his thoughts, all right, concerning that thing into your heart. And as the thoughts of God begin to enter into your heart, it starts removing thoughts that have created anxiety about it and fear, and it begins to replace it with thoughts there of assurance and certainty about the outcome. These thoughts begin to minister peace to you concerning that particular situation. You start moving out from a place of anxiety. It says to give you the expected end. Other translations, some say to give you that future, all right, and a hope. So you start seeing the future in the thoughts of God. That is not going to come out that way. This is the way it's going to come out. Those thoughts begin to come into your heart. They are thoughts that will bring about peace. And that peace will pass, which means it's a kind of understanding. And those are the riches. It's the thoughts there that are the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. That inheritance really are thoughts that God will communicate to you. I understand that even every material inheritance, all right, starts out as a thought. Every great company started out as a thought, all right? Everything, anything, no matter how massive it is, entered into a man's heart, first of all, as a thought. And then the thought was now translated into something of physical value there, all right, that people now call, you know, what they have. So God begins to pour out his inheritance into our hearts in a form of thoughts there. Thoughts begin to drop into us. Psalm 40, all right, and these thoughts begin to create peace on the inside. Psalm 40 tells us in verse 1, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock and established my going. And then he says, he put a new song in my mouth. So he started rejoicing, even praise to our God. Many will see this and fear, which means the effect of this, and they shall put their trust in the Lord. And then in verse 5, he tells us, many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order, which means they are unsearchable. This is the wealth. If I will declare and speak of them, there are more that can be numbered. Now, David came to understand while he was in trouble in the miry clay. He said, sacrifice offering thou did not desire, mine ears have you opened. Burnt offering and offering for sin. He thought, what can I do? All right, maybe I committed sin and all of that. What do I do to give to rectify that? He said, but God opened my ears and said, that's not the point. He said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. In other words, God is saying, there are things that are written of you in the volume of the book. My thoughts concerning you towards you are inside the scriptures. He said, he opened up my ears, opened up my eyes when I prayed, and these thoughts started flooding my mind. And that's why Paul said, think upon these things. Which means that as you pray, thoughts will begin to come. Thoughts of peace. He said, think upon these things. Now, I want to get into something very important this morning. Now, I want to start out by saying this, that once you have, or we have God's thoughts on a matter, there is no force on the earth. Now, let me repeat this. Once you have God's thoughts on a matter, there is no force on the earth that can stop what he has revealed from coming to pass. No external force or demon can stop it. Only one thing can stop it: unbelief in you. Which means that once God begins to reveal his thoughts, now, if you manufacture your own ideas, if you create your own thoughts, if they're a product of your own imagination, then they can be stopped, all right, on the outside. Those are cunningly devised fables. That is what the Bible calls in Isaiah, lighting your own spark and creating your own light. But if you go to God and you open up to him, and the Spirit of God begins to reveal what says the deep things. That word things means the deep thoughts of God concerning that matter. And God's thoughts, as you open the Word of God, starts getting ministered to you. You start seeing the thoughts of God. There is no force that can stop it except, all right, your own unbelief. Unbelief there means unpersuadableness, which means that even though God has suggested to you by revelation what he intends to do in your future, you still are in a state where you cannot be persuaded that what you have seen and you have heard will actually happen in your life. Remember that it is not the giant that stopped the nation of Israel from entering into the promised land. The Bible says they entered not in because of their unbelief. It wasn't the presence of opposition on the outside. It was the fact that they were not persuaded on the inside that they could go in. The opposition on the outside only revealed a weakness that was long-standing in them. Which means the opposition only on the outside only reveals a weakness that is long-standing, all right, on the inside of us. So it wasn't about, you know, the giants. It was the fact that they could not be persuaded. Joshua and Caleb, who had been persuaded, said they were ready. Let us go up at once. They said it is not even going to be difficult. They have bred unto us, and their defense has departed from them. When they eventually went in 40 years after, there was nothing to the battle. They won the battle swiftly. So it wasn't about the outside opposition. It was about inward persuasion. Now, let me put it this way, and this is how I've done in the last two services. If I come to you And I tell you that, let me just give an example. Pastor Deboye has prayed to God, and from his prayer, in the next 3 months, $5 million is going to come into his hands. You'll say that's no problem. Pastor Deboye, $5 million. That's small. Now, but before I say this, I come to you and I tell you that I am preaching this morning on God, who is a respecter of persons. This is what I tell you now. That I've got new revelation, and I want to show you that God is partial and is a respecter of persons. Now, if I say that, you first of all say, well, Pastor just wants to get our attention to preach what he wants to preach. But if I keep saying that he's a respecter of persons, he's a respecter, so can you say that? Now, you don't believe that. You will say no, that as a new creature in Christ, born again Christian, we have the same spirit on the inside of us. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of me. And you will say all of that, all right? But then I come to you and I tell you, in 3 months, you will get $5 million. You say, yes, easy. Then I say to you, I also saw that you two, in the next 9 days, $5 million came into your hands. You say, hold it. I even say, hold it. If I say, well, the income that came through was $100 million for them, you say, what's that? There are people I can tell you in this country, if I say $100 million came into their hands, you say, what's that? That's more. But if I say you, $100 million came in the next, say, hold it. Now, that is called, and we'll see this, unpersuadableness. In other words, there is something inside you that is militating against, all right, a thought that can give birth to a future within your life. There's just something there. Now, why will you theoretically say the same life that is in Pastor Deboye is inside me, and you're right. The same spirit that dwells in him dwells in me, and you're right. But you find it difficult to accept that something that will happen easily and readily to him will be very difficult when it comes to your case. This is the reason why. Now, understand the Bible calls it that you are transformed by the renewal of your mind. The word transformation means metamorphosis. In other words, there is that change that happens, like it happens in the butterfly, all right, from the caterpillar to the butterfly. Now, it is the same life that is in the caterpillar that is in the butterfly. Same life. But the external form of the life is what differs. But it is the same life that is in both of them. Now, if the caterpillar says, I'm going to move from this point and get up here and jump, and I'll be here in 3 seconds, you'll tell the caterpillar that's impossible. It will never happen. If a butterfly tells you that it's perched there, I'm going to be here in 3 seconds, you will say that is very easy. In other words, the reason why you look at some people and say something will happen easily is that you are making the prediction based on an outward form that has been produced by the renewal of mind. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when the mind is not renewed, so when they tell a person, this can happen, and that person's mind has not been renewed, what happens is that the person with that caterpillar mindset, who has the life inside, but that mindset there now says, I do not see how this thing, all right, can happen. And that's why when we look at 2 Corinthians and chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it tells us for the weapons of our warfare, that this is what we are really dealing with, are not carnal, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and then having a readiness to avenge all disobedience. That's what's happening on the outside. When your own obedience is fulfilled. So he goes on and says, Do we look at things outside, all right, after outward appearance? So it tells us that what we want to do is to dislodge. This is where the problem really is. Jesus, when he came from the Mount of Transfiguration, came down, and the disciples tried to cast out a devil, and they could not. They said, why could we not cast this devil out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief, unpersuadableness. When they went to meet Jesus in John, what must we do to do the works that you are doing? He said, believe. Because that believing there, Paul said in Hebrews, they could not enter because of unbelief. He therefore said, let us labor so that we do not fall after the same example of not being persuadable when it comes to the things that God has shown us about our future. That it is difficult for us to accept that particular thing will soon happen within our lives, even though we can see it from the Word of God. So the problem is not with the thoughts of God, all right, or God speaking. The problem is whether men will accept. If you pray, God begins to show mighty and powerful things from His Word, is whether or not we will accept those things and align ourselves with God's Word.
Thank you for listening.